Ya no puedo hablar, as it is written in the book of Samuel, reading from 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 21. Samuel, verse 21. When the man of honor went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, after the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you, Elkanah, her husband told her. Stay here until you have weaned him, and you may the Lord may go with his word. So the woman stayed at home and nursed her until she had weaned him. After he was weaned, he took the boy with him, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Elah, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I and the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices to the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly. Let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows and I am deeds of weight. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who serve are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has born 7 children, but she who has had many sons hides away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from ashes. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. Upon them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of the saints. But the wicked will be silenced in darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is the word of the Lord.
I really encourage you, if you have one there, to open your Bibles to the passage we're going to have a look at this morning. If you're visiting us, it's so good to have you. We're busy days in 1 Samuel in the mornings, so we'll go through for the next couple of weeks. 1 Samuel, we started it last Sunday, and now we pick it up this morning, 1 Samuel, and we go from chapter 1, verse 21, to chapter 2, verse 10. But always, let's pray. Those are amazing words for us this morning again, Lord. How vast this amazing love that you have had for us. We who are wretches, disobedient, self-centered, Lord, going our own way, blind to the things of God. But you loved us. You took the initiative to draw near to us and open our eyes to the truth and to bring us to Jesus. It's wonderful to be here with brothers and sisters, Lord. We all are here because we are growing to love you. And we want to listen to your word. We pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. And focus on something incredibly important issues that the world neglects, the world puts aside, us not to do that. And so I ask you to help me to explain the word of God properly, Lord. Help us all to hear it and to put it into practice. And I ask it all in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, last Sunday, you may remember, we introduced the book of 1 Samuel to you. It really is a lovely book. And I hope over the next few weeks you're going to learn to love and to greatly appreciate. It's basically the story of three great men in different ways. Samuel, and then we're going to have a look at Saul, and then we're going to have a look at David, and it just flows from one to the other. It comes after the dark ages of Israel's history with the judges. Remember that very horrible picture of Joshua dies and the judges come in, and the cycles went into place, how they wandered away from God, and God would send a judge. He'd save them for a while, but the judge died, they went back. He sent another judge, they'd come back, it would be okay. Judge died, they went back, and the cycle goes on through judges. Very, very depressing book called The Dark Ages. But towards the end of that period, we come to Samuel. And it's a lovely story. And last Sunday, you may remember, we were introduced mainly to his mother, a very, very early one. And what could be better today on Mother's Day than again highlighting some aspects of her life? She had a godly walk with Jesus, everything was okay, but she was unable to have children. And one day she goes into the temple and she begins to cry, not in bitterness, not in anger, not asking God why, just in absolute bitterness, she was unable to have children. And she asks God for a son. Eli saw her, and he made the sin of his life almost, when he thought she was drunk. But she was not, of course. She was pouring out her heart to God. God heard her prayer, and Samuel was born. And I want to remind you, friends, right at the start of our study today, there's one thing never ever forget. God answers prayer. When one of our sons was growing up and he was just a very small little boy, he taught me some wonderful theology, that little baby. And he came up to us one day after we had been praying as a family, and he said, "You know, Daddy, sometimes God says yes. Sometimes God says no. Sometimes God says wait. But God always answers prayer." I said, "Oh, you've just been awarded your doctorate." Because that was fantastic, wasn't it? You see, the thought is God does answer prayer. And so Samuel is born. And now this morning I'm going to take you with it. So follow with me in my Bible. And the first thing I want you to notice is the presentation of Samuel. The presentation of Samuel. It says, "When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, 'After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always. Do what seems best to you.' Elkanah, her husband, told her, 'Stay here until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word.'" Do you know what, my friends? We are now given just a little glimpse into the home of Samuel. I want you to see what a beautiful situation it was. The first thing that I want you to notice is Dad. His name was Elkanah. And it tells us in verse 21 that Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the animal sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow. You see, Elkanah took his responsibilities very, very seriously. When it came for the sacrifices, Elkanah was there. When it came for the responsibilities, Elkanah was there. Elkanah was a man who led his home in the things of God. And it was fantastic for us to see that this morning. And just for a minute, I want to speak to my life. I speak to myself first, and I want to speak to every man out there today. I want to say to you, my dear brothers, never, ever forget that. The great thing about a husband or a father is not to be necessarily a big success in business. It's not necessarily to be the most highly qualified man in the world or the greatest sportsman in the world. The greatest thing for a man is to be at home, leading his family in the things of God. And you don't find that too often today. When it comes to grace at meals, Dad prays. When it comes to Sunday, Dad gets the kids and gets his wife and we go to the house of God. When it comes to reading the Bible, Dad. When it comes to getting the kids to youth or whatever else it may be, it's Dad. My dear brothers, that's priority. It's much more important than anything else in life. Dad, take the lead at home. What a man. What a man Elkanah was. Not perfect. We saw that last week. There were some areas where he was not perfect. Like all of us, he was a sinner. But he led at home. On Mother's Day, Dad, take the lead. And I say that with love and grace to you this morning. Do you know the one thing that this mighty men's conference is doing? Is reminding men around the country of that. It's a very positive flow-out from that conference. Angus Buchan has got a simple message. His message is very simple. Come to Christ, love your wife, love your kids. The other thing that we are given here, friends, is a picture of Mom. Hey, Mom, here you are on your wonderful day. And we are again brought into contact with Samuel's mother, as you know, a lady by the name of Hannah. Now, Hannah, when Elkanah goes to the temple, she stays at home. She stays at home because she was a devoted mom. Samuel then was just born, and she pours her life into this little boy. She pours her life. At the end of our service, you may want to go to our library. We've got a great library. Use it. See? Free. And if you haven't got a book, you may want to think of taking out a book, I'm sure it must be there, called The Christian Family. And Larry Christensen makes this comment, if I may share it with you. He says this, and I quote, "The average woman, if she gives her full time to her home, to her husband and to her children. If she tries to understand her husband's work, to curb his egotism, while at the same time building up his self-esteem, and then to establish around the family a circle of friends, if she will provide in the home a proper atmosphere of culture, a love of music, beautiful gardens, if she can do this, she will be engaged in a life's work which will demand every talent that God has given her, the utmost sacrifice of her love. It will demand everything that she has and more." Now I know that in today's climate, it's difficult. There are homes batting economically. But I do say to moms, as far as you can, stay at home with the kids. If I may, I'm 1962, but, you know, I never ever once went home from school playing cricket or tennis, and mom wasn't there. I'm so grateful for that. When our boys arrived, Mary David teaching, and she loves it. I said, Mary, God's given us these kids. And we battled. I'm sorry to say that. Yo, financially, it was difficult. We put them through the best schools that we could find. We looked for the best. We said, we want to give them the best education. We want the best schools. Remember once, Mary worked for a little firm just for a couple of weeks to help us at one stage. And they put in the garage under this legal firm just to put all of their files onto a daughter's system. She got quite ill through that. But I'm so glad today. Hannah spent her life for her kids. What a great thing that is. And so he had a dad that led, he had a mom that was devoted, and they gave their all to the bringing up of this little boy. And then secondly, his dedication. After he was weaned, she then took the boy, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And when they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and his mother said, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here praying. I pray for this child. And the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. And now I'm going to give him to the Lord. His whole life must be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Isn't that fantastic, friends? This pulls the strings, doesn't it? You see, for you and me as parents today, I've got a Pinetown High School here, or wherever else schools that may be available, I went to Ashley or something like that. And I went to every one of the parents, and I said to the parents, what do you want for your kids? You know what you would get? A lot of them would say, you know what, I want my son to be a doctor, or I want my daughter to be a ballerina, or I want my sons to be comfortable financially. We must be careful. What do we want for our grandchildren? What do you want for them? What do you really want for your great-grandchildren? What is that one thing that you and I want for our kids? For Hannah and for our Connor. I want my boy to walk with God. That's the prayer. Doesn't matter what field they go into. So long as at the end of the day, they're walking with Jesus. Isn't that true? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what I want? Isn't that what we pray for and we live for? That was Hannah and Elkanah. So they take this little boy. How old is he here? 4. He's 4 years of age. That's all he is. She is weaned with Samuel, and she brings Samuel to the temple with the bull and the flour and the wine. And she says, Lord, here's my boy. I prayed for him. You heard my prayer. And now I want to dedicate him to you. And she leaves him with Eli in the temple. His life was to be set aside for God. And he was dedicated. Set aside for God. You know, in today's world, it's not easy. There are huge pressures and massive temptations. Please pray for me. I will pray for you that together we will build the most wonderful homes. Homes of love, homes of godliness, homes where Christ is the center. I believe it's the most wonderful thing you could ever give to your kids and to your grandchildren. A loving, godly home. Now, it's lovely to see that, isn't it? Number two. Not only is Hannah an amazing example of a woman that's walking with God and wanting to bring up her child well, but we are given an insight into her thinking and into what made her what she was and what enabled her to think what she thought. And in chapter 2 and verses 1 to 10, we come to our second point, and just to today, her song of thanksgiving. It's a beautiful song, friends. Really is it? It's like Mary's song, the Magnificat in the New Testament. They both are so rich and so full of the Lord. And I just want you to hear it. Just listen to Hannah for a moment. And you know what you're going to hear? That there's no superficiality for Hannah. Hannah was a woman who knew God, and she was absolutely steeped in a good understanding of God. Let me show you that. The first thing you notice about her song is that it was full of praise. So she says in verse 1, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high, my mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." See what you hear there? Hannah's joy is unconfined. But what struck me there was that her praise does not dwell on the gift. She's not praising God for the gift of Samuel. What is she praising God for? For who God is. That's incredible. Her focus is on the giver. So, imagine if you put it so nicely. She rejoiced not in Samuel, but in the Lord. She overlooked the gift and praised the giver. And so she speaks of her horn being lifted high, and she boasts, and her mouth is enlarged. Because she is so filled with the things of God, friends. Full of praise. Full of gratitude. Full of thanksgiving. Number two. What did she give thanks for? Now, let's have a rest. Can we have a breather for a few hours? When you go to the library, get another book. If you like to buy it, I don't say this flippantly, but sell your bed if you have more money. That's how good it is. You know what it's called? The Knowledge of the Holy by A.W. Tozer. And Tozer says this, and I want to help you if I may. He says this: what comes into your mind? Alright, are you going to do this? You ready, Doris? What comes in us? She was sleeping, I said, wake up. What comes into your mind when I mention the name God? You've got to deal with it. Alright, don't tell me. Don't tell your wife. Don't tell anybody. Alright, friends, what comes into your mind says those who are mentioned in the name of God. Listen, that is the most important thing I will ever know about you. And let me show you. If you had to mention the name God to Hannah, what came into her mind? There were four things that came into her mind. Number one, that God is holy. See what it's due? There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one like you. She was a woman who understood. do. God is a powerful God. There is no rock like our God. He is a rock to which all His people can trust, because God cannot ever be overthrown. God is a rock. Isn't that wonderful today in 2009? God's a rock. Economically, things are up and down. Crime-wise, things are up and down. Politically, up and down. Every way up and down. But there is one security: God. He's a rock. Any man and any woman and any family who's on the rock, you say, you have these words, a safe stronghold. Our God is still a trusty shield and weapon. Though they take our goods, our honor, our children, our wife, yet is their profit small. The city of God remains. That is Ruth. That's right. Anna, this little mom, such a deep understanding of God. Anna, how do you understand God? He's holy. He's powerful. Thirdly, He is all-knowing. Verse 3. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows. God knows. God hears. And number 4, God is just. By Him, deeds or way. You see there what I'm showing you, friends. So often today, people have got such a very shallow view of God. They've never read, they've never gone into the Bible. But the more you understand God, it doesn't matter what happens around you. It doesn't matter what occurs. It doesn't matter. Our life is not governed by circumstances. Our life is governed by God. And who is God? And it says, you know, my God, He's holy. My God is just. My God is powerful. And my God is all-knowing. And she sings this beautiful song. Thirdly, she then celebrates from verse 4 to verse 8 of God and His mighty acts, and she describes in verse 4 how the bows of the warriors are broken. In verse 5, how those who are hungry go hungry no more, as God looks after them. How those who are barren, their children, up to 7 kids, in verse 5. You see what she says? God. When we know God and we walk with God, He's able to do more than we ever ask or think. And one last thing, and then we finished. Number 4. She's writing this book, the songwriter, nearly 1,000 years BC. And she looks up. And she looks beyond Samuel. And she looks beyond Saul. And she looks beyond David. And she looks beyond Solomon. And she sees this amazing concept of Jesus Christ. She says, those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. The king in view is ultimately pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing for this woman? It's our mind and heart are filled with God and of Jesus. And Jesus is the one who is eventually going to come. He would save His people. He would give them the gift of eternal life. He would always be faithful to His promises. He would be our constant and our faithful guide and companion. He would be the bread of life to all who feed on Him. And Anna says, He's coming. One day. Mother's Day, sure. say no. To adopt. To be the man he was. What can we do as we go home today? What I'll ask you, and please, I'm with you two, we're all together. Let's go home. Say, please, gracious, loving God, help me to build a godly home. Isn't that right? Maybe you let it slip. Maybe the grace has gone, you're too busy. Maybe you're watching too much TV. Well, it happens. Maybe you let it just get weak. I'm saying to you today, say, Lord Jesus, that sermon touched my heart, my family, my son, my daughters, my grandchildren. Please, help me as the dad to lead, and help me as mom to be there. Let's pray it. Let's pray together. We're going to be quiet just for a second. I want you to pray for your home today. Would you pray for your husbands? Would you pray for your wives? Would you pray for your children? Would you pray for your grandchildren? And then I want you to bring it all to Jesus. Maybe there have been mistakes. Jesus is there for you. Maybe you've got regrets, things you've done. Perhaps can't be rectified. But bring it to Jesus, friend. Let's do that just for a moment. Thank you, Lord, that we can work through the Old Testament like this on a Sunday morning. And I pray for each dad here today and each mom. Help us to be an Elkanah or a Hannah. Please bless our homes. Please, Lord, help us to take seriously what you want us to do. And thank you for Jesus, who had a soul coming. And how we can have forgiveness in Jesus and rock. Now I pray that you would help us, like Hannah, to grow in our understanding of God. To be disciplined in our reading and our learning. That our understanding of God is deepening all the time. Help us to see that you're a powerful, holy, just God. And now part us with your blessing. Thank you for being with us today.